All right, what is up? Welcome into another episode of the Patriots Podcast. I'm Sean, he's JJ.
Hello.
We are wrapping up week 16 here, another Patriots victory over the hapless Buffalo Bills. Just kidding, Bills fans. They're still in the playoff race.
They're still in the playoff race. They played a tough game for two quarters.
Yeah, they didn't look bad. Even three quarters, really. This game was really close for a while, and then you see, I didn't even realize it was 37-16 final.
Yeah, oh yeah. Crazy. It looks like a blowout.
Yeah. And that basically all happened in the fourth quarter. Our last three possessions, I think, with Brady on the field all went for touchdowns. Boom, 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 boom.
Yeah.
You take those off, it's a tie game.
Well, there you go.
Well, I'm just saying it really exploded at the end of the game there.
Absolutely, yeah. I mean not a whole ton to say about this. It was, yeah, like you said, it's close. They drove on us early and often. They got down field goal range twice before they scored their first touchdown. New England, we got shut out in the first quarter. Nothing really was looking good. We were trying to do other things and trying, you know. It's funny, we mentioned that they should try and go to other guys and try and work these guys in. Didn't work out so well. Hollister, they tried to get involved a lot, and he
early.
Had good looks early. They looked so when they had the same idea. We just forgot to say Hollister.
Mm-hmm.
And they thought Hollister, it seems like they really like him receiving-wise. They tried to go to Britt. He had one reception. One time it was picked off going to him. Dorsett had a decent, you know, reception.
He had a good catch and run.
Yeah, and then from there on out, it was just the when we didn't know James White was playing too, so that was too bad. But after that, it was the Deion Lewis show and Gronk show and, you know, same cast of characters there.
But yeah, we guessed James White would be a big part of this. That ankle injury just crept up out of nowhere, and mm-hmm. then it really everything gets laid on Deion Lewis at that point, and he came up big. I think he won AFC Offensive Player of the Week.
He did.
He was a stud, especially in the running game. In between the tackles, you just don't think it. Even like short yardage in the red zone, that big fourth down conversion he had where he stuck the ball out and they reviewed it.
Yep, that was like, huge.
Yeah, you don't think of him succeeding in those type of situations in between the tackles with the big guys and short yardage. But he was playing great and had two touchdowns. Gronkowski had that ridiculous.
That was insane.
That's inhuman.
It was like out of bounds thrown, and he just caught it and toe tapped.
Yeah, I think while I was watching the game, I was like, oh, that's a really safe throw. You throw it 10 feet in the air all the way out of bounds.
And somehow he catches it.
Yeah, and you have an ogre who's going to go snatch it out of the air with one hand, make it look easy. Yeah, he's incredible. We're continue to lean on him pretty heavily. To convert anytime there's really tight man coverage in a situation where we really need a conversion.
Mm-hmm.
We really need Hogan back. The things that I learned from this game were that our offense can be stifled, and it wasn't that I learned it. It was just reaffirmed after the last few weeks. Offense can definitely be stifled, and the defense, this is not a defense that's going to carry you to a championship unless when Kyle Van Noy comes back, it completely revolutionizes it.
Which I don't think is going to happen. But
You don't think he's coming back?
No, I don't think he's going to revolutionize the defense.
I really think he's going to make it a lot better.
He's going to tie some loose ends together.
Yeah.
But it's not like Hightower's coming back. You said Hightower's coming back. All right. That's a big change. Van Noy, it's like you're getting an average guy back who's replacing others. We also did get another piece of the puzzle that could help solve things, which we'll get to in a little bit. But
come on, the people know. James Harrison's on the Pats.
No, but I said I will discuss it in a little bit.
Yeah, sure.
Defensively, they, you know, it looked first quarter, first half, it was like, Jesus Christ, the same old story. They're moving the ball on us. They're scoring. Luckily, we're holding them from touchdowns. Second half was a completely different story. We only let up 3 points in the second half. And part of that was because we got ahead and we applied the fucking pressure. And somehow it worked this game. I mean, Dietrich Wise had a sack and a half. Marquise Flowers had 2.5 sacks. Malcolm Brown probably had his best game of the season. He had a sack. He had a couple tackles for a loss. That was really pretty impressive. Malcolm Butler had a sack. He had a forced fumble.
Malcolm Butler had a sack?
Wasn't it Butler?
What are you looking at? The stats. Marquise Flowers played out of his mind.
Butler blitzed off the side. And
oh, that's right. Yeah, we sent two DBs on that play.
He had a sack. But Andy forced a fumble. It was on the same play. I can't remember. But yeah, Marquise Flowers played out of his mind, which is nice because we shit on him last week.
Well, it's the last time we played the Bills, Eric Lee played way better than he should have. And this time, Marquise Flowers played way better than he should
have.
Are we going to need these nobodies to step up and have crazy games in order for our defense to succeed?
Possibly.
Yeah. Until Van Noy comes back.
Yeah. Lawrence Guy has been steadily getting better and better, I feel like, as the season goes on. Chung continues to play out of his mind.
Yeah, Chung is incredible. I kept commenting during the game. I was Micah Hyde made the Pro Bowl, Bills safety. Patrick Chung did not make the Pro Bowl. And watching that game, I'm like, Patrick Chung's better.
Yeah.
He's so much better.
So much better. Micah Hyde did nothing in this game.
Jordan Poyer did some shit, though.
He did. He had a great pick. That was a sick pick. He jumped the route on the Kenny Britt and ran it all the way back.
Yeah, I was watching that play a whole bunch of times, and it looked like Brady thought they were in man coverage or something, and that Poyer was dropping on Brandon Cooks as he went upfield.
Mm-hmm.
And instead, he just shot that route. And, you know, something has to be said about Kenny Britt being new, the timing on that route not being perfect,
right,
and also Kenny Britt not knowing that he's got to fight to get that ball, that he can't just wait for it to come to him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We'll see how that whole thing boils out in the next couple of weeks, actually, too.
What, Kenny Britt?
Yeah.
You don't think it's going to stick?
Malcolm Butler.
Is everyone named Malcolm Butler?
I know.
Malcolm Mitchell.
No, Malcolm Mitchell. Thank you.
All these Malcolms.
Yeah, he just came back to practice today.
I know. Pretty good. Some people even think he's going to play this weekend against the Jets.
I mean, I don't know how they figure that. Maybe.
He's not. He just practiced for the first time since training camp, since like the first week of training camp.
I don't think he's playing.
Oh, he's not on the injury report at all.
Well, he's not to the active roster yet.
Oh, is that why he's not on the injury report? That could be it.
I would say that has something to do with it.
Yeah, that's got to be it.
Because
I was looking at him, I was like, this guy hasn't practiced. He's been injured for 5 months, and now he's no longer not injured anymore. Just like that.
Just like that.
First day back.
So it's the whole thing. They have 21 practice days before they have to designate them to a roster spot.
Yeah.
And I don't think you have to do anything about injuries until you're on a roster spot, or until you're on the roster.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Right? So we'll see if what happens with Dorsett. We'll see what happens with Britt. I mean, I can almost see that somebody's getting the boot there. I mean, now we have too many receivers. Not all of them can stay.
Well, not all of them can be on the field.
Yeah, or the raw. I mean, you got Dola, Dorsett, Lewis, Cooks, Britt, Hogan, and now Mitchell. Was that seven guys?
Yeah, I think so. Right.
That's a lot.
I know it's a lot, but they got to. They got to get some sort of production. The thing, they're just collecting people at receiver because and
trying to figure out who sticks.
Because everyone is basically failing at wide receiver right now.
Currently.
Yeah, currently failing at what they know they're going to need, which is beating tight coverage.
Right. And I mean, it's all in the numbers, too. I mean, when you have your leading receiver is a tight end for 2 or 3 weeks in a row,
and your second leading receiver is a running back.
Yeah,
just playing. He wasn't against, in this game, but he wasn't in terms of catches.
But especially against teams that are not known for great man coverage. I mean, no one's coming running home about the Buffalo Bills being great in tight coverage.
They were better in coverage than we were, which is ridiculous.
Right, okay.
I'm saying they shouldn't be better. We just took their best corner from last year. They traded their other best corner, and we have a Pro Bowler, two-time Pro Bowler, across the way.
And, Yeah, Tyrod did throw for 281.
I was really pissed. Well, the thing, what seemed like to me for the first three quarters of the goddamn game, Gilmore is on Kelvin Benjamin with no help, and he just keeps getting roasted anytime they wanted.
Yeah, he was getting burned.
The very end of the first half, they have a 3rd and 10 right after there was that scary injury.
Mm-hmm.
And Travaris Cadet just wrecked his knee. And
they Trey come, Flowers.
Yeah, they come out of that with... Trey didn't feel good about that. Ugh. But the very next play, they come out and Kelvin Benjamin just boxes out Stephon Gilmore right after the sticks. Like, I could have guessed that was going to happen.
Right.
He's too big. He's too big. You need to help him. And they didn't. They just could not get it. And then all the way, it kept going until the end zone. Up this play that we haven't brought up yet, the refs, once again, acting as Patriots, man-to-man coverage, one-on-one at the end zone. You got Kelvin Benjamin's a freaking tight end. He's their version of Gronk, and he's proven that he was beating the crap out of Gilmore. Mm-hmm. You leave him in that situation from 2 yards out with like 6 seconds to go. It's a joke.
Right. You're not fixing the problem. Clearly that was their offense for two quarters of the game or whatever the hell it was.
Yeah. What do you think of that call? You got to stop breathing in the mic.
Oh, that was intentional.
No. For the effect.
For the effect. No, I really don't know what to believe about that call. It's Belichick said that he thought it was the right call. I don't know if he would say it was the wrong call. I'd be surprised if he said something like that. But he said because the guy didn't have possession. And it was really tough to see if when the ball was, cradled by him and completely in his possession, if that foot was dragging out or if it was already out of bounds. And then he readjusted, and was his foot out of bounds when he readjusted? I mean, you look at it in real time, it's a fucking catch. Now, we've seen plays that you look in real time, it looks like a catch, or it doesn't look like a catch. You go to the replay, it's fairly obvious. But the fact that it was so nitty-gritty, like, oh, did he have possession? If somebody readjusts the ball type thing,
yeah,
I still consider that possession.
Yeah.
You know?
It should be.
And it's almost like...
If you put it in slow motion, sometimes it doesn't look like it, though.
Right. And that's almost where, like, this play, you know, the other one against the Pittsburgh Steelers... that was a game winner, so it was a much bigger situation. And
that was a more clear cut call than this
one. But that's what I'm saying. That was clear cut. At least it was, okay, he didn't survive the ground. He didn't. Okay. That at least you can write, look at that. Okay, it's written, you can't do that. But this one, it's like, what are we looking at here? That's a fucking catch from whatever I've seen. Even in slow motion, I kept looking. I'm like, I mean, they. It looks like a catch. I mean, is there enough to overturn it? Is there enough for them to overturn the call? I didn't think there was, personally. I talked to people that said, oh, outright, yeah, it wasn't a catch. And I don't think it would have made it. Definitely would have made the game closer. But at that point, I feel like right after that, we kind of took off and killed them. I don't know if that was a big momentum. I don't think they would have won the game with it regardless.
It definitely changed the momentum.
It did. But
regardless. Turning that into a field goal instead of a touchdown. They would have went into halftime with a 4-point lead if that call stood, and then they get the ball to start the second half.
Instead of tying.
Yeah.
But once again, they only scored 3 points in the second
half. I know, but it's you can't go back and say, oh, if you change this one thing, it wouldn't change anything after it. I think it would. They're up 4 points, sure. Then they don't feel like they're behind, then they don't feel like they have to throw the ball every down, then our pass rush doesn't get home in the fourth quarter as much. And they were able to continue putting drives together. Yeah, it could have changed things for sure. The call, it pisses me off that you can look at replays frame by frame for like 8 minutes and still not know what the right call is, and you decide to change it.
Right.
It's like, I feel like there should be a 2-minute time limit where that's if you can't tell within 2 minutes, the call stands. That's it.
It's a good idea.
Just it stands. You did not see enough
because that's what they were doing. But I mean, part of that too is did they kneel the call immediately and they're trying to figure out down and distance, what's going on, situation, clock, all that stupid crap too. I mean, that only takes another minute or two. But yeah, it's just the other thing that pisses me off is people. Oh, here's the league helping out the Patriots. Here's, you know, no, the league does not. Let's not forget. Let's not have such a short memory that the league is just doing this to get the Patriots to win. The league does not want the Patriots to win.
Right.
We have already. That was like the theme of this season going into the season. That after the Super Bowl last year, they do not want us to win. And these calls show. Oh well, here are the Patriots getting away with one. No. That's purely on the ref that was calling that game. It is nothing to do with the league saying, oh yeah, make sure the Patriots, they don't score on that one if it's a close call. No. So all those people can shut the hell up because they suspended Tom Brady over nothing. So, and here we are. But yeah, I thought it just, you know, to be on that side of that call when you're a fan, I mean, that's pretty tough.
Yeah, I felt really bad for Bills fans.
You know, it's like, oh, they scored, we're still in the game. Like you said, they're going to have the lead going into the half. Oh, that's a great feeling. Now it's like, oh, we felt like we just got our balls cut off.
Yeah.
So.
And with the way everything else played out that weekend, they would have been in the driver's seat for a wild card spot.
Potentially, yeah.
Yeah, if that worked out.
So, yeah, that one I thought was a little bit of a screw job. Just because, like you said, it's just, was there anything to overturn it? They're like, oh, you couldn't see the grass blades moving. It's like, geez, is that what we're at? Yeah,
because it's a freeze frame. Yeah, because you're on one frame.
Is that what we're looking at now? Like, The guy looked like he had the ball. He looked like he got both feet in. He dragged his foot for a little bit. I mean, he readjusted the football and like had it drop a centimeter and grabbed it. I mean, that's still possession to me. Plus Stephon Gilmore was grabbing him. They were both fighting pretty hard for it before that. And Gilmore
had his left arm held.
Yeah, he was.
That's
he
why
was
he had
holding
to catch
him
with one hand.
He was holding him. So it's yeah. like also. You know, the guy made a great – it's just,
Yeah.
A little bit of screw job.
It was
I
really
will
tough.
Admit that.
For sure. Also, on the other side, Malcolm Butler was not covering Deontay Thompson very well. Deontay Thompson went for 4 catches for 91 yards. And
no, he's – once again.
Butler up and down and up and down, and he just cannot be consistent.
No, I don't, it's just a tough year for him. If he was more consistent, I feel like we wouldn't be, you know – be a lot easier on this defense because he's supposed to be that rock back there. It was like, okay, he's one of the best guys in your secondary. They're not going to go after him, and if they do, they're going to pay for it. Now it's like, oh, just throw it over his head.
Yeah, just go do whatever you want. Oh, slight double move? Yeah, he's gone.
You're right. He got roasted on a double move this past game. Yeah, that was it's like, Jesus, Malcolm.
That's how it goes. I really think this is my big hope is that Kyle Van Noy changes this defense, because as I see it right now, this team is pretty darn flawed. And I know, coming off a 21-point lead, how could you say that? They're 12-3. I feel like they are fortunate. They're getting bailed out by good coaching, fortunate calls, great fourth quarter performances, particularly from Brady.
Mm-hmm.
They're getting bailed out by these things recently. And if it could go back to the way it was, what, a month ago? A month ago, this team was riding hot.
Pretty much like week 8.
Hot. It's like they peaked at that point, and they've lost it a bit. And I don't know
if here's something for you.
Be able to get it back soon enough.
Your Kyle Van Noy theory.
Yeah.
If it was week 4 and somebody asked you, okay, Kyle Van Noy's been hurt, your defense isn't doing great, do you think he's going to make that big of a difference if you knew all the pieces? Probably not.
Well, he's improved throughout the season. He's only been with the team for – he got picked up mid-season last year, so he's only been with the team for just over 1 year.
I mean, the positive about
he's gonna
it
continue
is that
improving.
Eric Lee or Marquise Flowers is now going to be in a reserve role or like a refresher role as opposed to a starter.
Yeah, that's the thing. Both of those guys are a little bit undersized, and I feel like
– they're pretty much starting.
Oh, yeah, they're definitely starting.
So it's like – okay, you're going to get one of them off the field. And the other thing I thought that was good, I mean, they had Flowers in there more, and they switched up the D a little bit. They had Wise only come in on third downs, which I thought made a huge difference for him.
When he's fresh on third downs, he makes a difference.
Yeah, so that was huge. And now, so I guess going forward, so the James Harrison thing, we don't know what he has left. The Steelers clearly didn't think much. There's a lot going on in the Steelers locker room right now about it, which is awesome.
What are they saying? I heard that.
Oh, they're
were...
all bullshit. Ben obviously said the right stuff. He goes, you know, I'm happy for James. I hope he, you know, everything works out for him. And they're like, oh, you know, what do you think about it? And he goes, well, it's not really up to me. Obviously, James has to do what James has to do. And, you know, he made the decision. He thought that was right for him. And I support that. So goodbye him. The rest of the locker room, Marquise Pouncey, the center. Is it Maurice or Marquise?
Marquise.
He's Marquise over there. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, look at me.
Yeah.
He basically said that all that was, you know, complete bullshit. His Steelers legend is tarnished. All that
get
shit.
Over
like
it.
It's like, dude, he's a you know, his legacy is tarnished. It's like, dude, he's a 39-year-old outside linebacker. Nothing gets tarnished by anything he does on the field this season or doesn't do.
Yeah, you know? Was his star tarnished because he was inactive for like 9 games this year?
Right. Bud Dupree
You're said mad that he doesn't want to be part of the team? You wouldn't let him be part of the team.
Right. So Bud Dupree saying that he wanted out and he ran himself out of town and nobody on the team was the reason he left. It's like, we knew nobody on the team was the reason he left.
Yeah,
he left
now
because
I'm starting
wasn't
to think it was because of you, bud.
Yeah, literally. It's like nobody – he left because he wasn't playing.
Yeah, duh.
So I'm pumped. I don't know about you. I mean
– there's a reason he wasn't playing.
There's definitely
a
reason he wasn't playing.
They didn't think he was going to be able to help him that much.
But on the flip side of it, he did play basically in one game against the Chiefs and had a decent game. He played 40 snaps this season and got a sack.
Okay.
So, ratio-wise, That's pretty damn good.
Yeah, but those were probably pass rushing downs.
Sure, whatever it is.
Probably but skewed that way.
That's all we need him for.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, I think it's definitely a good thing.
Throw him in there instead of Eric Lee or Marquise Flowers. I guess just, not Marquise Flowers, now he's had 2.5 sacks, but just as a rotational rusher.
Yeah, if you can keep them more fresh, give him shots. He's one of the great outside linebackers, at least recently. Former Absolutely. Defensive player of the year. He's clear. Did you see the pictures of him? He's clearly still in shape.
Oh, he's huge. On his Instagram, he's just like lifting like a moose constantly.
Guy is massive. He says he spends like $250,000 every year taking care of his body.
Yeah, he's just in like that.
Massages and acupuncture and everything else that goes into it.
Like you see him benching, like he does close grip bench of like 4 plates on each side. I don't know, it's like 400 pounds, and he's just like doing it. It's like this guy's 39. You know, that's what offensive linemen are benching.
He's a savage. Yeah. So when you're able to generate that much force, he can have an impact. He can.
That's what I mean. Like,
I just would want to temper expectations with the fact that the guy didn't make the active roster, essentially the game day roster for the Steelers.
Right.
Basically didn't. So maybe there's not that much left, but you know, with a guy with that type of experience and skill set, he could always come up with one big one, Dave Roberts action. Huh?
Right. I mean, that's all you need. I mean, that's kind of all this defense is missing, is like one or two sparks a game.
Yeah, kind of like Chris Long came through last year.
Right, exactly.
Needed that holding call, he went and got it.
Exactly. So, I mean, you get a guy like that, plus he's probably, I can imagine, a pretty motivational guy.
I don't know, he seemed pretty quiet. He just seems quiet and grumpy. You just stay away from him.
Well,
just
he was smiling away. In the picture with Brady. You see that one?
Oh, yeah, that's for a picture.
I couldn't believe it. I've never seen
Brady
him smile.
I bet Brady said something dumb. Brady was probably, cheese?
I'm sure I've never seen him smile. So
say Steelers.
Yeah. But I mean,
sucks for them. It really sucks for them. Imagine like Rob Ninkovich going to the Steelers or something this year.
Not even that. After they lose in the fashion they did to us, and then a week later we get one of their legends.
I know, right?
I would be bullshit. Oh my God, would I be mad?
pretty good. So yeah, this game in general, glad to have a win. Still not seeing everything fixed the way we would hope it would be. But elsewhere around the league this week, this was kind of... I'm kind of loving this. I was against oversaturation of the NFL, having it too many days a week, but it being on Saturday, Sunday, Monday this weekend, I was loving it.
Yeah, it was good. I didn't like there was no Sunday night game. I always like the Sunday night games, but...
Yeah, but it was Christmas Eve, man. Be with your family.
True. True.
Anyway, the games that really stuck out, the Baltimore game, I was hoping so bad that Jacoby could pull it out in the fourth quarter, but just couldn't do it. Just could not quite get there. Baltimore looks less and less scary every time I watch them, ever since that Steelers game.
Yeah, well, hopefully Suggs isn't right and that Broadway Joe, or Joe Flacco's...
Average Joe.
Average Joe, I'm sorry, is the November... What do you say? Something about... He's like January Joe or something?
Oh, God. Jeez.
You know, comes alive in January.
He could be.
He could be. You know, you never know. I don't think so. It looks terrible this year, but you never know. Saints beat the Falcons was a huge one, I thought.
That's massive for them.
Rams barely eked out against the Titans. The Titans have lost 3 straight now, so they're pretty much going to get eliminated immediately, I think.
The Titans are backing into the playoffs if they even make it. This weekend, they're playing the Jaguars. Jaguars are locked into the 3 seed, locked in. And Doug Marrone came out this week and said the Jaguars are going 100% against the Titans.
Really?
What?
Good. You know, he
Why
should.
Why are you doing that? No,
I don't.
He
I don't mind it. I don't mind it.
Definitely shouldn't. Definitely shouldn't.
Hopefully somebody doesn't get hurt. But
yeah, exactly.
Send a message to them if they get to the playoffs. Oh, you want to come? You want to face us? We're going to kick your ass. Plus, if they beat them, they probably get them. The Titans probably go to the 6th seed.
If they beat them, the Titans will probably get knocked out.
Oh, even better.
It's something like if the Titans lose, then either the Bills or Chargers would get in.
Okay. Speaking of the Jags, they got beat by the fucking Niners.
Jimmy G is he's going to be a household name any day.
Yeah, Jimmy G's the man. He's killing it. He's killing it. It's too bad he keeps winning because our seeding keeps getting worse and worse. But him beating the Jags also gave us the first round bye that we clinched. So that's nice.
Yeah, pretty good. I know. I saw an article this week, like, did the Patriots not get enough for Jimmy G? The answer to that, duh.
Yeah.
He looks like a franchise quarterback. You don't trade a franchise quarterback for a second-round pick.
No, no.
So clearly, if the Niners were going to turn around and trade him today, they get at least a first and a second.
I know, right?
That's at least.
Fucked.
That's the way it is.
Well, actually, not necessarily, because he has no contract.
Oh, you can franchise tag. Yeah, if he agreed to an extension, you'd get a first and a second. Easy.
Yes. Yep, I think so. It's too bad. So far.
I know, but good for him. I think he looks good in the Niners jersey. I like that. I think the Niners should be good.
Yeah.
The league's better off. I think mostly the league's better off when the Raiders are good, and the Raiders are not good right now. Did you see that Monday night game?
I saw parts of it. I saw them lose it at the end, and then they tried to do something, and they lost the ball, and it went for a touchdown. I was like, Jesus Christ, guys.
They're just infuriating.
Yeah.
Infuriatingly inept. They just can't put it together. It's brutal.
Yep.
And people are starting to talk about Jack Del Rio getting fired, and I think that would be so funny. Because didn't they just give him a 5-year extension?
Like a year ago?
I think earlier this year.
Maybe, yeah.
In like September, they gave Jack Del Rio like a 5-year contract extension worth $30 million plus dollars.
Short and memory in the NFL.
They could rip it up already. And just be like, fuck it, just take the $30 million, just stay away from our team.
Right? That would be ridiculous.
That could be the situation, yeah. I mean,
you had the Steelers just trounce the Texans, so they locked their spot up there.
Yeah, I totally missed that game.
Seahawks beat the boys, which was a good one, and that was pretty much for a chance
of
playoffs.
Shit, that was this weekend? Yeah. Oh, that was the game where Earl Thomas was running after Jason Garrett, like, get me, get me.
Yeah.
If you can literally get me, shit. Can you imagine that? Man, I didn't realize things were that bad in Seattle. I thought it was just a whole lot of noise.
Well, he came out and said, oh, obviously, like, I love it here, but when these guys kick me to the curb, that's where I want to go.
Oh, because he's from Texas. That's right.
Right. He wants to go play for his hometown team. So once I read that, I was like, ah, that's not as bad. But initially, I was like, holy shit.
Yeah.
And not many other games this weekend from what I saw, except the fact that the Giants just crumbling apart continues as they got blown out by the Cardinals. And just suspended their first-round pick of last year, Eli Apple, the cornerback.
Yeah.
So.
What can you say? Eli Apple came out with character concerns. Everybody knew it.
Really?
Yeah. And I think, what did they say he was suspended for? Like, continued behavioral problems?
Basically, they suspended him so they could do their best to not owe him as much money as possible if they cut him.
Oh.
Because if they suspend him, there's something in the contract. If he gets suspended, you're, you know, only guaranteed X amount versus, you know, the original amount or something.
Mm-hmm.
Because they're on the books for like $8 million dead money if they cut him or something.
Yeah, he was a first round pick.
Yeah, they're fucked.
Oh, that's stupid. He goddamn, he had a really good rookie season. He's got all the makings of a good cornerback.
He had I thought he was a rookie this year. Second year?
Yeah, last year he was a rookie.
Oh, and he played that well? They suck. Wow.
Yeah, he played really well last year.
Damn. Did not know that.
I know. Unfortunate, but yeah, what are you going to do? What are you going to do?
Yeah. So this week, we've got the Jets.
Yeah.
And Josh McCown is not playing.
Yeah, which totally changes the complexion of this.
I mean, it makes it from a game we do need to win this game.
Oh, yeah. We absolutely need to win this game. I don't want to go to Pittsburgh. That's really the only difference, isn't it, right?
Pretty much.
If we lose this game, the only thing that changes is that we'll have to go to Pittsburgh for the AFC Championship.
If they get there.
Yeah, if both of those teams get there. Exactly. So it's like, but that's got to be like, what, a 50% chance?
Probably.
Yeah.
No road team has won the Super Bowl gotten to the Super Bowl since 2013.
No number one seed?
Not number one seed. No team that's nobody won a road game to the...
At any point in the playoffs
to the road to the Super Bowl, like the two Super Bowl teams that got
Holy
there.
Shit.
Never having won since 2013, the Ravens.
God dang. Wow. Yeah, right? That's surprising.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so they want to take care of business against the Jets. The people will remember the game in October was a lot closer than we hoped for. Another fortunate referee call. Austin Seferian Jenkins fumbling through the back of the end zone in the fourth quarter. Allegedly fumbling. Another one of those replays that kind of changed history for us. This Jets team, as I said, totally different without Josh McCown. He's a good player. He's actually an okay player.
McCown's solid, dude. I mean, look at his stats. I mean, he had a decent, a lot better year than anyone expected. 94.5 pass rating. I mean, that's not bad. That's good.
Yep. 56 QBR. He's above average.
Right. So without him,
where he ranks in the league.
I have no idea. But without him, they have Bryce Petty. Good old Bryce Petty, the bench woma. 47.4% completion percentage. That's of 76 attempts. One touchdown, three interceptions, sacked four times, 46.6 pass rating.
What's his yards per completion? I'm just playing. You going to read off all his stats?
No.
Yeah, so we're going to be facing Bryce. Oh, did you see Hackenberg? The Hack. He's taking first team reps in practice. He's going to get some time this weekend, probably.
They put him in.
He's never played in a game before.
No.
He's been in the league 2 years. He was a second round pick. They've had all kinds of different guys taking snaps from under center. He's never gotten a play.
He's awful.
Well, we're going to get to see that.
Yeah, let's hope he's awful. So it's either Petty or Hack. Probably Petty.
It's going to be both. That's what it's going to be.
You think so?
Yes. I think Petty's going to start, and I think they're going to bring Hackenberg in relief as long as things go poorly for Petty, which I hope they will.
Yep. That's unbelievable. That's great. That's great to know.
I know, right? Elsewhere on that offense, the team has changed a little bit just since the last time we played them. Robbie Anderson has really asserted himself as a pretty darn good player.
Yeah.
And that's about it. That's all I got.
Jermaine Kearse, he's not bad. He's had a solid
season. He's still good.
He's still good.
Yeah.
Bilal Powell is averaging 4.4 yards a carry. He's doing solidly. But
he's really taken that role over from
what happened to Matt Forte.
He's not just playing as much. He's pretty old.
He is old. Yeah, he's getting old for running back.
Yeah. Their offense is 24th in the league.
Yeah, lackluster.
Yeah. They are equally bad offensively and defensively, which people would have expected them to be better on defense than they've shown to be.
Yeah.
But they are below average in just about everything.
Well, on defense, I think Leonard Williams just got hurt, right?
Leonard Williams was out of practice today. They had a few people who were out. Leonard Williams, Brandon Shell, who's a starting guard, Robbie Anderson with an illness, so he'll probably be back as long as that's short term. Matt Forte out, Austin Seferian Jenkins out, Morris Claiborne and Jermaine Kearse. All of them missed practice today.
Well,
so those are basically all of their play bankers.
Pretty much, and they have benched Muhammad Wilkerson.
They benched him
2 weeks, I think. Yeah,
he can't get it right.
They are not happy with him, so I don't even know if he's going to play this game.
He's questionable with a coach's decision.
There you go. Exactly. So they
on Wednesday
they benched him last week. I think the last 2 weeks, and they're not happy with him. So he might not play.
I even am really liking Todd Bowles.
And if he doesn't play, if he does play, I can't expect much out of him just because clearly he is not in it there.
Yeah, he got his money.
Yeah, so
he's fat and happy. Yeah, but I just wanted to say real quick, Todd Bowles took this team who I thought was going to be equally as bad as the Browns.
Yeah,
and they've won five games. He is asserting discipline over arguably the best player on the team.
Yep,
good for him. I thought for sure he was a lame duck coach, and he's really come alive.
Mm-hmm.
So props.
Yeah, no, he's definitely done better than expected. I mean, they went on a little run there where they won three games in a row. Woo!
Yeah, in like September.
Four, yeah. I mean, this team is not good. They are going to be considerably worse if they're missing all those players, which they might be.
Right. They're on the road. Last time we played them in New York, they always play better in New York than they do. They always do.
It's science. It's just science.
I'm pretty excited to watch their defense, see how Jamal Adams looks at the end of his first full season.
Mm-hmm.
Darren Lee's really come into his own as an inside linebacker. And if they're without Morris Claiborne, then we'll get to see Daryl Roberts. Remember him?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he'll be in a more prominent role for them. But he's been playing pretty well every time I've seen him.
Nice.
We've kind of scattered cornerbacks all over the place, underratedly. Daryl Roberts was watching Rashawn Melvin play with the Colts and then Justin Coleman play with the Seahawks. They're just kind of scattering like number two, three receiver or cornerbacks.
And safeties.
Who are the safeties?
Tavon Wilson.
Oh, yeah. Man, how did he never work out? I would love to have him back for Jordan Richards right now.
I know.
This is why we need Van Noy, because he takes Jordan Richards off the field. He no longer plays defense. Jordan Richards is literally just
a weak link. I don't know if he's gonna stick around much longer next year, but they must like him. I mean, they keep trying to get him in there.
He plays special teams.
So what?
So I mean, he's got a solid roster spot.
Yeah. Okay. Anyways, what else do you have?
That was really annoying you.
What else? You have anything else to say about the Jets? I just
want to finish it. I want to finish the season on a good note. I don't want to limp in. I don't want to back in. I don't want to go on the road. I don't want to pull a 2015.
Mm-hmm.
Just want to finish.
We should. I mean, if we lose this game, we have a lot of problems going to the playoffs.
Right. This should be a tune-up game. It should be get your confidence up. Go into the bye week feeling good. Get everybody some work. It would be great to get Malcolm Mitchell on the field. I would love to see. The thing is, you said last time that we said that they should get more people involved in the offense. And it's like they tried to. And I was looking at the stat sheet. I think there was 8 or 9 receivers who caught a pass.
Mm-hmm.
Like they spread it around. And I would like to see that list replicated and add Malcolm Mitchell. Wouldn't that be great?
Yeah.
Well, and I'd like to spread it around more and really limit Gronkowski from seeing looks in the middle of the field.
Yep, absolutely. What do you think a score for this one is?
I'm going to go pretty low. I think it's going to be like 24-10.
I think we're going to beat up on them. We should.
6. 9. That's
24-9. I'm going to go 31-6.
Oh.
And I think I'm right. No, at all. Yeah. Did you see Belichick talking about James Harrison today?
No, what'd he say?
Oh, it was unbelievable. They were like, basically asking Belichick about it, and he goes, yep, we signed him. And they're like, what do you think about the signing? The best one is like, oh, did you sign him because he might have some intel on the Steelers and get you some good information? He goes, well, we are playing the Jets this week. I don't know what that has to do with this, unless I miss something. Classic.
Oh, that's so good.
Classic. And they're like, "Oh, what do you think about his skills? Do you think his skills are really good at inside back or outside backer? Is that why you signed him?" He goes, "We generally sign players for their good skills." Like, yeah, what'd you expect, buddy?
Yeah, stupid. Do you think he could play football?
Yeah. Yeah. They're like, he played outside backer for Pittsburgh. What are you guys going to play him on? And he's like, well, you just said it. He played outside backer. We're going to see how it goes. Literally gives them nothing.
So good.
Absolutely. I love it. I absolutely love it.
So good. This weekend got, I think they said 10 out of the 16 games have playoff implications. Something like that. Really? That'd be pretty sad to be watching one of the other 6 games. Redskins at Giants.
Well, yeah, like it's
Houston
like,
at Indy, yeah.
Yeah, the Panthers could go anywhere from the second seed to the fifth or the fifth to the second or whatever the hell it is.
Yeah, depending on how things work out for them. Who do you want to see for AFC Wild?
That's a good one. Let me take a look here.
I just named them for you. What are you looking at?
Better visually.
All right.
Visual person.
Someone's a visual learner. I will spell them out. And then the NFC, it is between... It's Seattle and Carolina. No. Carolina's already in. I think it's between Seattle and Detroit, is it?
No, it's Seattle and Atlanta. It's really just Seattle. Seattle and Atlanta. Yeah, right, exactly. So the AFC, I wouldn't mind seeing the Titans get booted. I mean, for a better game, if I could choose who I'd want in the playoffs, I'd keep the Titans and put the Bills just because I think we could beat the fuck out of both of them.
Mm-hmm.
But I'd like to see the Chargers versus Jags and the Chiefs versus Ravens would be nice. Or even the Chiefs versus the Chargers and the Ravens versus the Jags.
Chiefs-Chargers would be great for me. I'd like that.
Yeah, I think that's a good game.
But I don't think they can jump up to the 5.
No.
I think they'd only be at the 6.
Doubtful. Very doubtful. Right, so I don't know if that's possible. But Chargers-Jags, I think, still a good game. See how that one goes. I don't think they're going to be able to score against the Jags, though. You know what? The Falcons, I don't care who gets in between the Falcons and the Hawks. I really don't give a shit.
I think the Seahawks are going to do it. I think the Falcons are going to continue the collapse.
It would make sense for the Seahawks to get in and the Falcons to completely blow it.
Yeah.
And not get in. I mean,
I don't think the Seahawks will win on the road in the playoffs.
Perfect Falcons for them to be like, oh, you have a playoff spot. No.
Yeah, you lose the last 2 weeks of the season and see ya.
That is classic Atlanta. And who are they playing?
It's really classic teams that lose the Super Bowl.
And they're playing the Panthers, so it's probably going to happen.
Yeah, definitely could.
They're probably going to blow it. The Bills are playing the Dolphins. The Jags are playing the Titans. So if, like you said, they could knock them right out, that's pretty good.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
There's no Sunday night game this week either.
No, it sucks. Who is it? What do we got? The Chargers playing the Raiders.
The Raiders.
So they might get in through there. The Hawks are playing the Cardinals. They might lose that.
They might, but they definitely could win. The Cardinals are going into Seattle to play them? I got to lean towards Seattle on that one.
I'd lean towards Seattle, but they've been a crapshoot this year. Their offense is fucking terrible. And their defense is just too hurt. It's too hurt.
Yeah, I don't think they're a threat in the playoffs, even as well as Russell Wilson's playing. There's just not enough around him right now.
Mm-hmm. And then the Bengals are going to the Ravens. So
God. So our hopes for getting the Ravens out of the postseason rest on the shoulders of Andy Dalton.
Might happen, dude.
And what could be his final start as a bungle?
And what might be, for Marvin Lewis, they might play. They know it's left. It's so funny. Marvin Lewis, he knows he's going to get fired, and he's like, I'm going to take it off to go figure out some personal things, the other things I want besides football. That's what he said.
That's what he said?
Yeah.
He's taking what off?
He's retiring.
Oh, I thought he said that those rumors are false, but that was weeks ago.
Oh, really?
That I heard that.
Oh, no, I think he said that he's...
He said he's going to do it?
I think he's done. I mean, I could be wrong.
Good. He should be. He should be. Dude,
he should be.
If you can't figure it out in 15 years, I think you got enough of a shot.
They should fire him just for the principle. You know what? You don't even suit up for the last week 17. Fuck you. You've done a terrible job. We trusted in you for 15 some odd years, and you haven't got us to what? One playoff appearance?
So funny.
Maybe two?
Yeah.
He is up there. I think he's lapped around Jeff Fisher as the most tenured coach for doing absolutely nothing.
No. Jeff Fisher set that bar. If there's a trophy for mediocre head coach, just barely hanging on to a job, it is Jeff Fisher. And Jack Del Rio is going to win the Jeff Fisher Award this year. Marvin Lewis has been a multi-time winner.
I think he's pretty close to passing Jeff Fisher.
No way. Jeff Fisher was so bad.
Jeff Fisher
got to a Super Bowl.
Okay. Marv Lewis has never won a goddamn playoff game.
I don't know if Jeff Fisher might have won one other playoff game.
Has Marvin Lewis ever won a playoff game?
No, of course he hasn't.
So there you go.
No.
That is bad.
That's bad, but At least Jeff Fisher rode
on the Super Bowl thing for like 6 years after that. Marv Lewis got to a playoff game, and he rode on that for a decade.
Yeah. What are you talking about?
Not a decade. 5 years? 4 years? When was the last time they were
playing? Maybe like 4 years ago. 3 years ago, something like that. Yeah. I think they made the playoffs in 2013 or 14.
And at least look what Jeff Fisher left with the Rams. Everyone thought it was going to be a complete sham. They're like...
That has nothing to do with him whatsoever. That is something to do with him. No. They drafted okay. They got some players, so they were left with some talent.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying, and he was not in charge of drafting.
They actually might lose this week to the 49ers, too, funny enough.
Yeah, they could.
They certainly...
But they have that... Don't they have that division wrapped up?
Their third seed, though. I mean, they're definitely fucked with their seeding.
I don't think it could.
Well, because, if they lose and the Saints win, the Saints get a better seed. They go from third to fourth.
Oh, yeah, because the Vikings are in two. That's right.
Right.
That's
right. Vikings are two, and the Saints are playing the Bucks. So that's.
I thought I just read that the Chargers are, or the Rams are planning on resting some people.
Oh, actually, you're right. They are.
I think they're resting people.
Maybe they don't care about the seeding.
Well, they beat the Saints head-to-head, so maybe the tiebreaker works in their favor.
Yeah, but still, if they lose, they're fucking 11-5, and the Saints win, they're 12-4.
Well, whatever.
I mean...
I know.
What do you mean,
I know.
Whatever.
You would think they'd be playing for some, especially because the sixth seed is going to be the Falcons or the Seahawks, and the fifth seed could be the Panthers. And Panthers might be the more intimidating team.
Way more intimidating.
But yeah, I'm serious about this Jeff Fisher thing. He went to the Super Bowl in '99. He lasted with the Titans for at least another 10 years, and did a whole lot of nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Steve McNair did win a playoff game in 2003. He did do that. However. Outside of that, they did nothing. He parlays this into a pretty cushy job with the Rams. Gotta say, they had first overall quarterback Sam Bradford. They had all kinds of talent on defense. He walks in, doesn't have to be the GM. The GM is selecting people like Aaron Donald and Robert Quinn. Janoris Jenkins was a draft pick by them. TJ McDonald, the list goes on. And somehow manages to make it worse with the Rams. They move to LA, and he's like from LA or went to college there, and they think that he's going to be some sort of ambassador to the city. Fails at that job. Angers Eric Dickerson. Eric Dickerson's coming out and talking crazy smack. He's like the greatest Ram of all time, basically.
Mm-hmm.
And then further drives the team down and down and down in the standings.
Okay. Here's some statistics for you. We don't need to talk about this. I don't want to talk about this much longer. But anyways, regular season, Marvin Lewis, 123 for wins, 112 losses, 3 ties. That's a .523 record. Jeff Fisher, 173, 165, 165 losses in 1 tie. .512. Very similar.
Very mediocre.
Here you go. Marv Lewis, 0-7 in the postseason. Jeff Fisher, 5-6.
5-6. Wow. That's a lot better than I expected. Oh, I forgot about the Kerry Collins team in 2008.
Oh, yeah, that's right. They actually made some waves. So there you go.
Good.
0-7. That's pretty tough to outdo.
You're right.
Now, Fisher is a much more mediocre guy just because he's got more mediocre wins. About 6 more seasons of mediocrity than good old Marv here.
Marvy.
And somehow he got coach of the year in 09. He is complete. I mean, what was he? Was he the Ravens defensive coordinator all the way in the
What are you talking about? Marvin Lewis?
Yeah.
He was with the Ravens, I believe, before going to the Bengals.
Oh, okay.
But that was in like 2001.
Number 24. What the hell does that mean?
2002, probably.
There's a ranking here under Jeff Fisher's name that says number 24.
Do you think
that
means all-time wins, maybe?
Maybe. I don't know what that is. He shouldn't have done any list wins for coaching.
Oh, yeah. It's just he's longevity. Yeah. It's all longevity with those guys. And they both started fairly young. But yeah, Marvin Lewis's time has expired.
Okay.
It should be over.
Yes.
And the only other thing I wanted to add about this week is the out of practice today for the Patriots, Alan Branch, Mike Gillisley, Tom Brady. No reason to expect Brady's going to miss the game. Gillisley surprised me. Yep. I didn't know he was a little banged up. And
finally
Branch
got some time
to
and a touchdown.
Out. I know, right? And there it goes. And the fact that they activated Malcolm Mitchell over Vincent Valentine tells me that Alan Branch's injury probably isn't going to keep him out of the playoffs.
Yeah.
Right?
True.
Is that the right way to look at that?
I would say so.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
All right. Well, this is our last podcast of the regular season. Dun, dun, dun. Finish up. We'll be back to talk playoffs next week.
Absolutely.
All right. See y'all.
Adios.